Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Miranda.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised.
What's my bad?
Oh, we've not done this one in a while, so we're going to do it again. If you get super static hair, because it's going to start getting cooler.
Yeah.
You can just use literally a dryer sheet.
Yeah.
You can dryer sheet your hair a little bit.
Yeah.
Brush it with a dryer sheet. And if you got those little like hairs that are sticking straight up on top.
Can I help with that?
Yep. And don't be scared to spray a little hairspray on those. I do it on my clients all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little hold.
Also, you can use the side of the can instead of your hand.
Oh, yeah.
And because the side of the can doesn't have oils on it and your hand does, and they won't stick to that as bad.
I use the back of my comb.
Yeah, you know,
like spray it and then use the back of my comb.
And then just comb it down.
Yeah, I'm just going to comb it.
Trigger warning, this episode contains graphic crime.
This story is from November 18th, 1942, out of Polk County, back in the country, in the hollows and the hills, and that will come to play.
Yeah, it's on Greasy Creek.
So, and we're like just telling these people, and there's some people out there like, what in the absolute
Where the fuck
hell?
Is Greasy Creek?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was actually working on the Tennessee Valley Power Project, which is that whole, if you're from this area, you know
TVA.
That. Yes, that whole area, TVA, all of the things they used
the
to
dams
have out the... there. Yes, the dams, and that all took construction. So a lot of people had to live out in that area before getting all this. This is another one of those. I have seen so many comments, people telling what this story supposedly is and
okay.
what they have heard through the years.
Okay.
I have decided there is one newspaper article on this. That thank God you can't even find it on newspaper.com. Somebody had literally screenshotted like taken pictures of this old newspaper article and put them all on a history group so then I could read them from there.
So they're literally only on
yes
that newspaper.
Yes. I went back. I found a tiny bit of court records on it. Just a little sliver. Yes. The last name is Hedden. The way I'm going to spell it whenever we do this episode is the way that I found on their graves, because there's like 20 dozen different ways this is spelled.
Yeah.
So this is a definite trigger warning because there is a child involved in this. But either way, I say that to say I know there are a million different stories on this, but the reason I chose to just use the newspaper one is there was one comment that their grandmother, aunt, uncle, whoever it was related to these people. And they specifically said, these stories and everything you heard is 100% wrong. None of the shit you're saying in these comments are true.
Well, then what's right?
So I just did it off of what I found printed in a newspaper article that I can prove what it said, that I can source.
Okay.
I don't know a lot of the details about the story, and I'll just let you determine what you think. So Jack Hedden returned to his house. He's coming home from his shift working on the Tennessee Valley Power Project, and it's like midnight before he gets home, so it's pretty late.
Okay.
And as he walks in to the house, he slips, literally slips on a pool of blood.
Oh.
Almost tripping over the body of his pregnant wife, Leisha Hedden.
Oh my goodness.
Not far from his wife, laying on a bed, is Arlene Dillon Glowen. She is their boarder that is like staying with them at the time.
So she's renting a room.
Yes. At the foot of this bed is Arlene's 2-year-old son, Steve. who is also dead.
Oh.
In the next room is Jack Hedden's one-year-old son, unharmed.
So the baby's just in there.
Yes, in his crib. So all three of the victims had been shot. Other violence had happened. I don't think we need to go into it. I don't like talking about stuff like that with kids. Anyway, all three had been shot.
Okay.
He ran outside to catch the car that had dropped him off. But I mean, this is out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
His car's way down the road. Can't even see the taillights anymore. So he takes off running to his nearest neighbor's house, Preacher Ledford. The preacher had a telephone, so that's why he goes there first.
Okay.
And so he's like, hey, call the police. And the Preacher Ledford comes back with Jack to the house. And while the preacher's there, he's waiting on the police to come. Jack ran to get his brother, the ex-constable, Bill, from home. Bill is a neighbor. By the time they return back to the house, it's full of neighbors and police.
Everybody's heard about this.
You know how it was back then. It was a spectacle. Everybody shows up. So almost immediately, people realize that Bill is like even more agitated and upset about this than his brother Jack is. And he's even saying, I'm going to take matters into my own hands when I figure out who does this. And Sheriff Briggs was like, don't say that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because even other people are like joining in on it, like, hell yeah. And he's like, y'all, no, calm down. What the sheriff does say is he's, listen, Bill, what you can do to help is you can go get the hounds and you can go with the hounds and you can figure out what's going on. And Bill says, no, I'm too torn up about this. I've not been feeling well anyway. I would rather just go tell other family members. You're super torn up about this, but like, what? Like, then go, okay, anyway.
You're a little suspect here, Bill.
Right. Like, you want to have mountain justice, but you don't want to go help look for the person that has it.
You don't want to go find them to carry out said mountain justice.
Yeah, that's so weird to me. So the next day, the sheriff goes over to Bill's home, and he finds him in bed completely with his clothes on. And Julius Goforth, his friend, is just like sitting there hanging out, chilling in the room with him. And the sheriff tells him that he had just arrested Jack and Bill's cousins, Lawrence and Floyd Breeden, who were in their early 20s.
Okay.
And he's like, Bill, Julius, come on down and listen to this interview. Like, you used to be law enforcement. Why don't you come help? Why don't you come listen?
Right.
They declined to listen. They declined to come. So Lawrence and Floyd were sent home.
So again, we want to carry out all this justice.
Right.
But we don't care to go see if they actually did it.
Yeah, you don't want to be involved in the investigation. You just want to say that you were. So they were like, you know what? Actually, let's just bring those two in.
Yeah. Why don't y'all come in?
Yeah, anyway. Like we don't like that. So as soon as he gets there, Julius starts telling everything. And Julius is like, all right, so listen, I'm friends with Bill and I love Bill, but there are some things there's some things I'm not cool with, and one of them is killing fucking kids. I don't like that. Let me tell you the whole story of what happened.
Oh, my.
So he said at 6 o'clock, Bill shows up at his house, and he's like, all right, we're going to ride over here to my brother's house, and I'm going to make Leisha go to bed by 6:30. So they get there, and they go inside, and Bill's like, hey, I'm here to tell you that you need to go to bed. You need to go to bed, like, right now. And she said that she was not going to bed. She would go to bed when she felt like it. And that if she didn't get out of her house, she was just going to call the sheriff. So, like, you have no say here, right?
Right.
Bill is like, you're going to go to bed. Julius is like, this is uncomfortable.
Yeah, this is weird.
This is weird as hell. I'm going to the car. He goes to the car. He starts hearing screaming, then a bunch of gunshots. Bill comes out. And he starts to drive down the road, and he says, no one left to tell any tales there. And then he gets down the road a little bit, and he was like, oh, shit, I left the light on. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to turn the light off so that Jack will find them when he comes home. And if you tell him, you're going to ruin me. So he literally goes back and turns the house, or goes back to the house with the dead bodies inside, turns the lights off, and leaves.
What the hell?
And Julius was like, this is fucking crazy. I can't do this. So Bill gets arrested. He goes to trial, and his wife testified that none of this could be true. Remember, he was sick. He had been sick in bed that whole day. That he didn't even go with Julius. He didn't. Where Jack found him in bed whenever he came to tell him that the sister-in-law was dead, that's what it was. He had been in bed all day.
No, ma'am.
Jack's neighbor heard the shot and the scream, but they didn't even go investigate. Jack said that when he left home, he saw his brother about 25 feet from his house and that he had two pistols on him. One of those guns bullets was actually tested by the FBI because we didn't have TBI at the time, but we had FBI. And it was one of the bullets, like, from the crime scene.
Why are you going to tell her to go to bed, though?
I don't know. There was even blood in Bill's car, and he was just like, oh, I cut myself. But, like, why? I don't know why he felt like he needed to tell her when to go to bed. I don't know.
This man just lost his mind for a little while?
Mm-hmm. He was only convicted of her murder. Not the other two.
Not the other one?
Mm-hmm. But he was actually executed on March 30th, 1943. But this is the fucking crazy part about it. Yes, there's a but. After I wrote all this and I started like looking up his execution to make sure that 100% he was executed, he shot and killed his dad when he was a kid, but it was ruled a self-defense.
Oh, so he does this.
He does this. Yeah.
What the hell?
Is that not crazy?
That's wild. That's truly wild.
It's really been interesting, like, researching these older ones like this, because just, like, he just went in there and just literally for computer. What? Yeah, why? And that makes sense why his nephew was left living. But, like, what? Over going to bed, you killed three people? You killed a baby?
I feel like you went in there to just start an argument.
Yeah.
Like, you knew exactly she was going to tell you to fuck off.
Right.
Tell a grown-ass woman to go to bed at 6:30. Right. First and foremost, don't tempt me with a good time. But
seriously, I absolutely would.
Why are you showing up at my house to do this? This is weird.
Yeah. And there are rumors that, well, that was his baby, and that's the reason that he did this. But, yeah, and people say that that wasn't accurate. They had a great marriage that nobody really understood why he even did that.
Like, this motherfucker was just crazy.
Yeah, like, it sounds like he just wanted to. And then if you don't do it in front of somebody.
Yeah. I'm glad that as soon as he got in a room without him, he was like, here's what the fuck happened. I've been trying to get away from this motherfucker.
Literally, he was like, he even had me at his house this morning. Like, I just needed a time to tell y'all. We're not friends like that.
I'm a victim too.
I didn't even want to be there.
Yeah.
You know?
That's crazy.
Yeah. So
that's truly crazy.
Over nothing.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.